Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
So, Merry Christmas, everybody. Oh, it's such a beautiful season. Can't believe Christmas Day is on Thursday. Wow, how did we get there? So quick. Hope everyone's ready and prepared. But even if you're not, it's all good. It will all work out great. If you don't know much about me, one of the things that you will come to know is that Christmas is my favorite time of the year. Like, I put up the Christmas trees, yes, trees, in our house up in October. Yes, yes. The kids each have a Christmas tree because now they love Christmas like me. And Dave just, he goes along with it because he has no choice. But he loves Christmas too. But I love everything about Christmas. It's such a beautiful time. I feel like it's the time of the year where the child inside of me comes fully alive. And it's beautiful, you know, that even at a time that we find ourselves in, just in society, right, that many don't believe in God or they don't come to church. It's a time where songs about Jesus are sung in the public places. You hear them in the supermarket, in the shopping centres, you know, in nationwide, you know, televised carol services. We were out last night and we saw on the screen carol service in Sydney that was televised and all these beautiful Christmas hymns being sung. And so it's such a beautiful time. It's a time of Advent. And, you know, the Advent season is this four-week period in December in the Christian calendar that prepares us for Jesus Christ's birth at Christmas. And it also points ahead to his promised return. So it's so full of hope. And it's a precious and joyous time of waiting because we know what's on the other side. Pastor Levi read out this scripture before. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And, you know, as has already been said this morning, you know, when we come to the end of the year, it can be rushed. it's very easy for us to run past Christmas or to feel like Christmas is running past us. But I really believe, and what God has put on my heart today, is it's important for us to stop and reflect, especially as lovers of Jesus, as believers and followers of Jesus, for us to lean into him. And I also want to acknowledge that this time of year can be so hard for so many of us in this room, in our families, in our community. There may be breakthroughs that haven't come yet. There may be unanswered prayers. There may be traumas not healed yet. It's the difficulty of the season as well. And it's the tension that we heard about last week from Christine, that beautiful word about Emmanuel, light of the world, the tension between light and darkness. That is a reality. Holding the tension between God is always good, but life is also hard right now. And so wherever you sit today, I really want to encourage all of us in this room to remain present with the Lord this morning because he's here and he wants to touch those tender places in our hearts and lives today. He wants to show you new facets of who he is and he wants to love you. And so in this series this month, we've been preaching about Emmanuel, God with us. And we've dug deeper into what it means for, what does it mean that God is with us, as well as Emmanuel, who is the light of the world. And I really felt as I prayed for today to bring all these facets of Emmanuel, God with us, and create space for it to sink deeper into our hearts. And a powerful way to do this is reflection. And so reflection if we were to dissect it, because I think it's important, means to take a step back from a thought, a belief, truth, an experience, and to take time to wonder what it really means, to make meaning of that, to reflect in the past, on the past, in the present, for the sake of the future. And in this case, for the sake of our relationship in Jesus. When we allow space to be still and ask questions and dig deeper, we are able to make meaningful connections. Like, why is it that we believe what we believe? Why is it that we do what we do? It takes those things sitting at the back of our minds and it brings them to focus, so then we're able to examine them and ultimately make meaning of them. It's a part of remembering. And when we participate in communion, we are reflecting on what Jesus has done for us. And we're able to make meaning of it in new ways every time. And that deepens our relationship with Him and our connection to Him. It cements the truth into the very fibers of our soul. And it changes us. We can't reflect in that way and it not change us. And I feel the same way about Christmas. It's a time of remembrance when love came down into our broken, messy world and brought love and light and a life. Every time we create time to remember, our relationship with the Lord deepens. And as we know, it's so hard to be still at any time, but especially at this time. And one of the ways in our household that we've created space and time to reflect is through our daily Advent, our family Advent. And so we bought a beautiful Advent box. And every day that we open a day, so day 1 to 24, it brings a verse, a Bible verse from Luke about the Christmas story. So every day you get little glimpses of the Christmas story. Lexi and Judah take turns and they always remember whose turn it is. They're very serious about this stuff. So it contains a Bible verse. It contains an activity to do around kindness and connectedness. And every day there is a part of the nativity that comes out. So at the end of the 24 days, we have a whole nativity set. So this morning we got Mary. Yeah, we got Mary this morning. So our nativity set is almost complete. But for us as a family, it creates a moment right at the start of the day, even when the kids are in school, they hadn't finished school yet, we would do it before school to stop and reflect and remember the reason why we celebrate. You know, as much as decorating, I love decorating, and giving and receiving and parties and all the things, they're so fun and I love every part of that. Creating, reflecting, creating that space, it takes the emphasis off those things and it puts it back on Jesus. And as our result, our relationship with God deepens. Yeah. And so there's a scripture that shows us the power of reflection in the Christmas story. And it's found in Luke 2, verses 15 to 19. It should come up on the screen behind me. There it is. Thank you so much, Ash. So it says this: when the angels went away from them into heaven, this is after the angels appeared to the shepherds, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. All who heard wondered, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Why is this important? Because when we simply wonder in a moment, it's easy for us to forget. I mean, if you think about this moment, such an unbelievable thing, I mean, has anyone in this room had angels appear to them while they're just in the middle of their workplace? The shepherds were, you know, tending to the sheep. I haven't. And then they come to the child, and everything that the angel told them, they saw. It was so miraculous, so unbelievable. But still, when Jesus began his ministry, not the shepherds, but the people forgot this miraculous, life-changing moment. Their response to Jesus was, "Is this not Joseph's son?" in John 6:42. But Mary pondered. Some translations say treasured, which means that she prized everything that happened. And when we treasure things, it has a preserving quality. We don't remember for a fleeting moment, but we remember for a lifetime. Yeah. Ray Ortland puts it like this: the crowds were fascinated. That was not wrong. It was right. But it didn't last and it didn't change them. But Mary went into sustained reflection and meditation and growing understanding. Wow. I don't know about you, but I don't want to forget.
Yeah,
I don't want to grow familiar. But if I'm honest, I've been really close at times this year. And it grieves me because I love the Lord so much. But there's so much in life that can overwhelm us and distract us and detract us and discourage us. And in a world full of crowds, let's be more like Mary.
Yeah, good.
Prize and preserve Jesus in our hearts. So this morning, what the Lord spoke to me about was leading us all in reflection. And so if you're here and you're struggling to see Jesus, or maybe you're just longing to see more of him, I just really want to encourage us to lean in for a couple of moments. Maybe you've never done something like this before, but this exercise is something that I've done a lot this year, a lot, through my placement in professional supervision. And if we really allow it to, it can be such a powerful exercise. So I'm going to ask the picture to be put up. This is a still image from the Nativity story, if any of you have watched this depiction of the Christmas story. But I want you to take a moment to see it and take it in. I'm pretty sure most of us are familiar with this scene. And I'm going to ask us three questions. And I'm going to share my reflections, but I also ask that everyone in this room just take some time to quietly reflect with me. Is that all right? And write notes if you want to, but we're going to slow down and just look for a moment. The first question is, what do you see? It's a very obvious question. So I see baby Jesus, you can just see him. I see Mary and I see Joseph and the shepherds. I see the light shining through. I see the stable, the humble place where the King of Glory was born. I see the cows in the background. It just shows you they came into a very messy, noisy, and smelly place. I also see the posture of the shepherds and of Joseph. I can see the awe and the wonder. What do you see? What do you wonder? What do you wonder about when you see this picture? I wonder how Mary felt. I wonder about the pain she experienced. I've delivered two babies and I can't imagine doing it in this situation. I wonder how she felt knowing that she literally had the Messiah of the world in her hands after he grew inside her for 9 months. I wonder what Mary's heart must have been experiencing knowing that God chose her. Piecing it all together, trying to make meaning of it all. I wonder what was going through Joseph's mind. The thoughts he had, what the angel had said to him, how he had come to him. God had chosen him too. And I wonder what thoughts and feelings that evoked in him. I wonder if they were in shock. Did this just happen? I wonder what the shepherds felt. You know, being a shepherd is such a monotonous existence, and you're unseen, invisible, and forgotten. And I wonder what it would have felt like for people like this to have been chosen for the very first announcement. The angel of the Lord appear before their very eyes and hear, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." For people that felt like they weren't seen to be the first chosen to hear about Jesus. What do you wonder? What do you realize? When I sit and I truly reflect on the significance of this season of Christmas, and I look at this image and what it represents, I realize that everything in my life that I've been stressed about, worried about, it gets smaller when I sit in and remember the significance of this moment right here. Those things that were so large in my mind, so loud in my ears, it becomes smaller because I see the God who is with me, who has been with me and promises to always be with me. And I realize this is the greatest gift in my life. I also realize that there are so many things that vow for my attention, and at times I can take my eyes off Jesus. And then the times that I felt most disappointed and overwhelmed and all those things, I've kept asking myself, can I still see Jesus? Can I still see Jesus over the disappointments and the pain and the suffering and the lack? Or have these things clouded my ability to see him, to prize and preserve his presence in my life? I realize that Jesus saw me first. I have felt like the shepherds before, unseen, overlooked, invisible. But he sees me. God sees me and he loves me. What I realize is that when we truly reflect and we slow down to see him, it's impossible not to see him as the greatest gift. Our prize and our reward. So what do you see now? What is clearer for you? What have we pondered and now need to preserve in our hearts? So I'm just going to share some things that I have reflected about in the lead up today that I want to prize and preserve, and I believe is important that we all do. Number one, God refused to love us from a distance. God refused to love you and me from a distance. Christmas and the significance of this time, it makes me so emotional, because when you read through the Old Testament, it tells the story of God and his continual pursuing of the humans he created in his image, his chosen people. And it also tells the story of how his created and chosen people turned his back on him time and time again, creating space between themselves and God. You know, this year I was in the book of Ezekiel, and in chapter 6, I remember reading it and just weeping, because God speaks of how he's been broken over his people's unfaithfulness to him. But in that same book, in chapter 39, God's heart is set on restoration of his people. This happens time and time again in the Old Testament. He would continually have grace for his people. He would continually choose them, even if they didn't choose him. So God sent his son. It's John 3:16. We know this by rote, right? As followers of Jesus, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believed in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. God refused to love us from a distance and called Jesus God with us. The fact that we stand in hindsight of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection is the evidence of this, that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. God doesn't love us from a distance. He doesn't keep us at arm's length. He came into a broken world. It was into our broken world that a child was born. The light came down into a messy, loud, smelly place. And I'm a walking, talking testimony that God came into my mess. He walked into my mess. He walked into your mess. He continues to walk into our mess, the mess of our lives, the mess of our hearts. And not only did he walk into our mess, but he gave himself for you and I. And we walk out looking more like him. This is something to prize in our hearts, to treasure, to preserve. My second reflection is that because of Jesus, our lives have been emptied of so much, and he's poured himself into our lives. Because love came down, every mistake, every time we've fallen short, he throws it into the depths, not holding it against us. It says in Micah chapter 7, verses 18 to 19, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." Who is a God like this God, like our God? Instead of being found guilty of sin, he gives us his grace and promises that nothing can separate us from his love. It says in Romans 8:35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are made more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Is that not something to prize, church? Is that not something to preserve? Nothing means nothing. Nothing can separate us from his amazing love. He removes all the wrong in our lives. And he loves us despite of it and our perpetual human faults, because we are sinners and we will perpetually sin. None of us is immune. And I would like to burst some bubbles in here. I am a sinner and I'm the pastor. Everyone's a sinner. No one's perfect. He gives us his grace, unmerited favor. Guess what? We don't deserve it. That's what it means. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. None of us deserved it. We deserve death. But he took on the weight of our sin. And he took on the death that we deserved. Not only that, but he gives us eternal life. It says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And sometimes it is not enough for us. These things are still not enough. This is something to treasure in our hearts. Is he not enough, church? Is this not enough? I'm just going to invite the worship team to come. My last reflection is pretty obvious. God is with us. You know, Pastor Levi, he opened up our series about Emmanuel, God with us. And while he was preaching a couple of weeks ago, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Sonia, what was life like for you when you didn't know that God was with you? The truth is this, that before I honored or knew God, he knew me. Before you knew or honored God, he knew you. And for me, it wasn't the greatest. We all carry trauma. We all carry negative experience. And for me, I carry those things too. And I'm in continual process with the Lord of healing. And my core belief, when I follow the thread, is that I don't really belong anywhere. But God came into my life and his love healed my heart. I'm still in process, continually healing. But I think, look at what the Lord has done. Look at what the Lord has done. What is that for you in your life? And even though it was a long time ago, I was 11 when I came to know the Lord, but I remember what my life was like before I met Jesus. And I remember what my family's lives were like before I met Jesus. And it's a memory I want to preserve. Because of this, the gap between my old life and my new life is massive. And I never want to forget that Christ took me from here and he brought me here. It's a memory I want to preserve. It automatically magnifies the goodness of God in my life. Something I often think about is, where would I be without Jesus? I don't know about you, but for me, it's a frightening thought. I don't think I would have ended up anywhere great, to be honest. So you might be sitting in here and you're like, what do I have to show for another year? But this is the truth. Our hope depends on our remembrance. Our hope depends on our remembrance. Have we forgotten the privilege and significance of God being with us? God with us. And where would we be without Jesus? Like, this year might have been the worst year for you. But can you see where God has been with you? Can you trace His hand? Can you trace His heart? Can you still see Jesus? I know for me personally, just talking personally, this has been a very hard year for me. I've wanted to quit so many times. I've been discouraged. I've been overwhelmed. But God being with me is the only thing that has gotten me standing right before you today with my joy intact. Not harboring bitterness in my heart and not listening to those insecurities. It's but God, it is only Him. I don't know what that is for you. And it's not me because I'm some super Christian. Believe me, I am not. I want to burst that bubble right here, right now. I am not. But it is my reality because of this. God is with me. And He's with you. Jesus being called God with us is a statement of God's heart and His intention towards us. And He wants to be with us more than anything. I'm going to say that again. Jesus being called God with us is a statement of God's heart and His intention towards us. He wants to be with us more than anything. In John chapter 1, verses 9 to 14, it says this, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory is the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus came to this world that He created, and the world did not know or accept Him. John says that we have seen His glory. I have seen it. Have you seen it? More than anything He can do for us, it is already enough that He's God with us. We live in hindsight of a baby, a vulnerable child born into this world where His people thought it was going to be this powerful king ready to overthrow the Roman government. But He came as a vulnerable baby, submitting to earthly parents and walking amongst the people He created. He was held in the arms of the people that He created. The greatest gift is that God gave Himself. So if there's any time for us as followers and lovers of Jesus to rejoice, it is today. It is this season. It is in the middle of this Christmas season because of this wonderful fact. We celebrate because love, light, and life came into the world. And because of Him, our lives have been completely transformed. Change, we've been marked, never to be the same again. Oh, goodness. Jesus. Simply put, He's the greatest gift, full stop, end of story. So when we sing and when we see Him, let's respond with the honor that's due to His name. When we know Him like this, when we reflect on what this day means and who He is, how could we stay quiet? How could we not offer Him all of our praise and all of our worship? So we're going to go into a time of worship, and I want to encourage you with this. Let's continue to intentionally reflect. Let's not let this world and all the consumeristic things around Christmas dictate how we approach this season. Let us look to Jesus and let Him dictate how we respond and lean into Him in this season. Let us look to Him this morning or afternoon now and behold Him. We're going to worship together.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.